Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 11th of September, recording at 9:54 p.m., and that's still British summer time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In stock markets, Asian markets, they were mixed. India a little higher, Hong Kong a little higher. China took a breather, pulling back a little bit. The European stock market indices were mostly a little bit higher and firming after an indifferent opening today. Now, in the Americas, we had moderate gains on Wall Street. The rally sort of petered out a little bit towards the close, but we still had gains of 0.5% by the Dow. 0.31% by the S&P, with the NASDAQ virtually unchanged. And Brazil had a good move here today, up 1.74%. In long-dated government bond prices, we had the U.S. futures down a wee bit, and the European ones fractionally higher. Now, the U.S. dollar, that eased in anticipation of the Fed's statement tomorrow. And we've got the dollar index back below the 80 level for the first time in a while. And we've got the Australian dollar back up to 104.33. I think the euro remains firm at 128.54. Sterling up at 160.68. Now, precious metals have seesawed here a little bit. They were lower, and then they had a reasonably good rally coming in mid-afternoon. But those gains were paired considerably. But we still have modest gains here for platinum, 1606. Gold, perhaps best today, 1732. And silver a little lower at 33.54.5. Palladium down a fraction. Grains and beans, a little bit of profit taking. And crude oil, I don't think that's done much today, but it's a little bit firmer with the Brent at 115.96.85 for the WTI. Those are the main developments. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, it's been a firm period, as you know, particularly for Europe and also the Americas. Now, Europe remains very much in form overall. We've got this that big percentage rally, albeit from very low levels, in the banks index continues. We've got the DAX pushing through further into new high ground for the year, leading that upside move. Some of the other markets within Europe remain very firm overall, not least Denmark, Switzerland. UK a little bit behind, but it's firmed considerably here recently. Wall Street has also been very firm. The NASDAQ has faltered here a little bit in the last couple of days, and one of the reasons for that is the pause in Apple, which had a downside key day reversal yesterday and a little bit of follow-through in here today, ahead of the important iPhone launch, I think the fifth in the series of iPhone launches, which occurs tomorrow. So it'll certainly be interesting to see what happens there. The shares overextended relative to its 200-day moving average. So the response following the announcement will be, well, as I say, of interest, particularly in terms of whether it is able to push higher still, overcoming the key that we saw on Monday, before it gets a bit more mean reversion towards a rising 200-day moving average. But the overall performance remains outstanding, if technically somewhat overextended. Now, what else to mention? Europe has been lagging here for a change recently. Well, China had lagged for a long time until Friday's upward dynamic, being it had been a serial performer, as we know. But the rest of Asia has been lagging behind Wall Street, including that ASEAN group, which had been so firm overall. Now, there's been no real deterioration in those indices, but as to say, they haven't been seeing the sort of strength that we've seen in Europe. And I think that European strength owes a great deal to first short covering, and then some bargain hunting, as people realized that a breakup of the euro was not imminent. And I think even Europhobes have got to be a bit impressed the way Mario Draghi has sort of seems to have seized the reins here, and at least has been able to get the interest rates down in Spain and Italy and some of the other troubled borrowers overall. Although, as we know, these are problems that are far from resolved, and they're not really going to be resolved until or unless those European economies are restructured on a more capitalistic model, meaning they've got to generate some GDP growth. Now, what about these stock markets, though? Getting back to this in terms of their overall outlook. This excellent rally that we've seen since early June, characterized by those higher reaction lows, those are still intact. Those are still very important, not least for the S&P. And there, as I mentioned yesterday in both comment and the audio, we'd need to see a close below 1390 to clearly indicate that the progression of higher reaction lows had broken. Now, I'll continue to give the upside the benefit of the doubt until we break this uptrend consistency overall. And at the back of my mind is the thought that it would not be surprising if we saw a somewhat bigger reaction, which might well break the uptrend consistency between now and say the second half of October, which is often a period of seasonal turbulence. But you don't bet your money on seasonal factors, or at least I don't, because sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. And at Fuller Money, we prefer to be technical naturalists, watching the markets, monitoring the action, and staying with it while it's in form, and waving the caution flags when it's not. So, no caution flags waving at the moment here, although the higher this rally goes, common sense dictates that the more susceptible it becomes to a somewhat bigger reaction. Or the next correction. But while people are still airing or in their wall of worry concerns, I think the underpinnings are going to remain reasonably firm. There's plenty of support evident on most of the charts. Interest rates remain extremely low, and China has joined the countries that are providing genuine monetary and, in China's case, also fiscal stimulus. So if China continues to pick up, and I think it will in coming months, I think the bottom's in as of last Friday's big upward dynamic. And if we get some follow-through to the upside, as I expect in coming weeks, may take it a little bit of time because we'll still see some more unfavorable data coming out. I think that's been a spur to the stimulus measures that we've actually seen. In other words, the officials there are anticipating some more weak data, and so have brought forward some of those stimulus measures. And then there's the uncertainty over the handover to the new generation of leaders. You know, China changes its leaders every 10 years, and so that'll also create a little bit of uncertainty. But overall, I think China is cheap and a major recovery candidate over the medium term. Now, long-dated government bond prices, well, the QE is helping to keep them reasonably firm overall, but I wouldn't be surprised if the tops are in on the futures prices, meaning that the lows are in terms of the yields. I don't see, touch wood, the type of crisis evolving here. Certainly not, I don't feel that that's on the immediate horizon, in terms of any event capable of causing new lows for the long-dated government bond yields. Now, looking at the US dollar, it's been in retreat here, which is consistent with the sort of overall risk-on attitude that investors are expressing. But overall, we have a range-bound dollar, and we do not have any currency crisis, which is a relief here. The euro is steady at 128.50. And as I say, these units of exchange remain range bound here, so that's not a problem. And the absence of a problem can be considered a plus factor, I think, overall. The precious metals remain very firm, somewhat overextended, overbought here in the short term, but as we've seen so often in the past, when you get breakouts from trading ranges, particularly when people have been, or many people have been, very uncertain as to which direction that breakout was actually going to take, you get quite explosive moves. And that's what we've seen with the precious metals. I think the momentum could carry a little higher before we get into another ranging step phase. But I'm really very bullish overall for the sector on a medium-term basis. I think we've had confirming evidence that certainly that the lengthy medium-term corrections in precious metals are over, and that we're in a favorable period seasonally. The low interest rates and all the QE are certainly reason enough to push precious metals higher, and I think that's exactly what we're going to see over the next number of months. And I feel this is a major opportunity here. I think it's best played through the metals themselves rather than the shares, although the higher the metal prices go, and as you know, I'm saying they will go significantly higher here over the medium term, including new highs for gold early next year is my guess, if not sooner. Now, if that if we actually see that, then inevitably some of the more highly regarded gold shares, for instance, would do quite well. I think the more interesting sector of the mining market, though, is in the industrial metal miners. That's such a bombed-out sector overall. And if China is or if the lows for China's stock market are in, as I believe, and we see a further recovery over the medium term as a precursor of an improvement in the overall economic performance from China due to that big stimulus package that they've introduced, those industrial miners could do very well indeed. They are being led by copper shares at the moment, and Owen's done a timely review of those here today, which I think you'll find interesting. And I think that's pretty much it. I look forward to seeing what tomorrow brings. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.